Fire in the Hole. Strangely, a strange title for an amazing teaching that Holy Ghost has today for us. And he's giving me a picture of it so that we can understand. Fire in the Hole often means usually in a wartime setting. People might be in a bunkered out under the ground or in foxholes, and someone throws a grenade in and blasts an explosion, and people get maimed or killed. But this is what Holy Ghost has shown me. There is a missile, and he's placed it in this hole that isn't even very deep. And most of the missile you can see from the outside of the hole, the shallow hole. Now imagine when that explodes. It isn't going to be just like a grenade that does damage, and grenades obviously can do a lot of damage, but they don't do the damage of a missile. So we're going to see what he wants to say today. His topic is about the maligning, the subordination of him, Holy Spirit. And no wonder he has that kind of title, Fire in the Hole. This has been going on for a long, long time. It is not something new that Holy Spirit is considered either junior God, subordinate to Jesus, or even an angelic being at one point. In the fourth century, there was a very strong thrust and a group, believe it or not, called the Spirit Fighters. That was their name. And they fought against the Holy Spirit and his divinity, his authority, his having power as God. And they called him an angelic being and a created being. There were also, in a similar time, Jesus' divinity was also in question. And to such a degree that they actually had to convene a council called the Nicene Council, where we have the Nicene Creed from. And bishops, I think there was 300 plus bishops that were convened together from around the world that decided on what the truths of the church were going to be, what we would agree was true. And one of them was about the divinity of Jesus, because there was one group, actually a couple of groups, the Arians and another group that, oh, the Gnostics, that were not only questioning Jesus' divinity, but had scriptures. This is the problem with the interpretation of the word when people do it for their own gain. Had scriptures that they had interpreted to say that Jesus was not divine. They would maybe sometimes use one scripture. There's a scripture where Jesus says, "You should be glad that I am leaving." It's in John, because my Father is greater than I. And they use that one scripture. And yet in other scriptures he says, "I am." In the other scriptures he says, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." So the problem with interpretation, again, contextually drawing things out for our own purposes, is very dangerous work. Now, the only one who can interpret scripture completely accurately is the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, who, what? Inspired scripture. It even says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So who has the right to wield that sword? It belongs to Holy Spirit. It does not belong to us. We are privileged with it as a gift, but it never says that the word of God is our sword to wield against others. It says it is the sword of the Spirit, and the reason being, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. If it can cut between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, it can maim people, it can kill people. That sharpness must be wielded by one who is trustworthy and true. And Holy Spirit is that one. Now, what's happened is often people get upset, and there's this often this simple claim of you're glorifying the Holy Ghost, you're glorifying the Holy Ghost, as if he is separate from Jesus. It is the lack of understanding. We don't have multidimensional thinking. We have very one-dimensional thinking as human beings. Unless How? It says that by the Spirit of God, we will understand the things of God. We cannot understand them without Him. He is not only essential, He came to replace Jesus. He is not in competition with Jesus. He came to replace Jesus, and it was by him that Jesus was conceived. But Jesus, the Word, was there at the beginning, was he not? But he was not incarnated at that time. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he came to come into being as a human being, walking the earth, to be our deliverer and to die on a cross. And then Holy Spirit also raised him from the dead. So without the Holy Spirit, there is no gospel. And that is what needs to be told. That is the story that needs to be told. The enemy of our souls will tell us, will use Jesus, will use the Word of God, the Bible itself, against the Holy Spirit. Why? Why is there such a feverish fight against him? What threat does he have towards Satan? There are many, many Christians that believe in Jesus. They're Bible-believing Christians. They love him. They go to church. They give to charities. They are, you know, might even visit the sick, people in prisons, all of it. But they live in defeat in their own life. They don't understand the truth. They must listen to someone else to tell them the truth, because it's as if they have an intermediary called a man on the pulpit or a teacher that they listen to on recordings, DVDs, CDs, whatever, online, because they won't interpret it for themselves. And the only way you can interpret him, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Word, living Word that is written now, is through the Spirit of God, the living God. So if people are offended by the Holy Spirit, and if they're going to call him their helper, but he's not their master, and if they're going to say that Jesus is my master, but I don't need to be led by the Spirit because I've got the Word of God, they are actually rejecting the truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. They're rejecting the truth. It's not that they're rejecting, they're rejecting Jesus, yes, because Jesus, what did Jesus say in John 14 and in John 16? He said, it is better that I leave you so that another helper, another comforter, another advocate, it depends on your translation, will be sent. I will pray to the Father and he will send him. And he will teach you, and he will reveal all things to you. So you're already rejecting Jesus by saying no. Because what does he say? If they rejected me, if they wouldn't receive me, they won't receive you. It's just like the Holy Spirit. They're not going to if we don't receive Holy Spirit, and we are willing to learn from him, who do we think we are? We're not the teacher. We're not the divine teacher. Holy Spirit's the divine teacher. Well, we think we can teach ourselves, or we think we can teach somebody else without him at the helm. We're mad. He's the teacher. The teacher is the one who teaches. The one who is, that we are to be led by, for as many as are led by God, by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, means he's a leader. Means we follow. Why in the world would man, whether it's man or woman, why in the world would they resist that? What is that about? What are they so afraid of? Or who is convincing them that Holy Spirit is not valued and worthy of being yielded to and listened to? Who would say that? Who would, in whose, it's not liability, who would benefit the most? Whose advantage would it be to? For us not to listen to the Holy Spirit, to not have a living faith, to simply read the Word and have a relationship with a book. Who would want that? Because you can read the Word of God and it can be dead if you are not reading with the Spirit of Truth leading your reading and your understanding. It is not just the written Word. Throwing scriptures around and using them because they have a little bit of something to do with what you're saying, and you want them to fit square peg round hole. I'm going to push this word in here. I don't care what it looks like at the end. I've got my scripture to prove I'm right. When you actually have the living God, Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, let's get real who he is. You have rejected Christ then. If you don't want to be if you don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you've rejected Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because he has come, Holy Spirit, to replace him. And he was sent by the Father, so you're also spitting in the Father's face. Saying, I don't want your gift. Holy Spirit's called a gift. The one who gives gifts. He's called the promise. I don't want your promise, Father. You keep it. That's what is happening in the body. And it's happened, like I said, for a long time. And what is the crux of it? Anytime you look at the root of some kind of slant that Christians will take on a doctrine, an understanding, a belief system, if you look at the root, you will see why. Often the root is very similar in many doctrines, heresies, teachings, whatever we want to call them. The root at the very bottom of this is arrogance. Because who in their right mind or right heart would want to dismiss, or as they say in Australia, fob off the Holy Spirit who is the living God, by whom we can say Jesus is Lord, by whom we are born and born again as from the Spirit, we're born of the Spirit, by whom we worship God in spirit and truth, by whom we overcome the flesh, and by whom we love through, because the Father's love was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If we think we can change the rules because we don't like it, and these rules are not rules to oppress us, he's the Spirit of liberty. He brings liberty. And to call being led by the Spirit something to mock or as a joke, when throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit and his ministry is revealed over and over and over in the epistles, in the Gospels, in Revelation. He is not a missing person in the New Testament. He's a missing person in modern Christianity. And it's a tragedy for the church. And it is why so many are seeking after false doctrines and false teachers. Because they can be fooled without the Spirit of truth. It is why so many are alone and empty and feel like orphans. Because they don't know there's a living God to commune with and talk with 24/7. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He abides in us. We are not alone, never alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yet he said, I have to leave. Well, if he had to leave, who's here? Who came in his place? Holy Spirit. We are not left alone. We are not. He says, I will not leave you orphans. He hasn't. He prayed. He spoke to the Father. The Father said, yes. Holy Spirit agreed, and he's here. He is part of the gospel message. We're not just saying that Jesus forgave us of our sins and now you don't have to go to hell. Then what? Then what happens to you? What do you do then? Sit on your couch? Go through deep cleansing and healing through all kinds of other methods other than through the Holy Spirit, who knows how to heal your heart instantly? If you yield it to him, you don't have to spend months or thousands of dollars to get it done. He has been ignored for far too long. And as he said at the beginning of this year, Holy Ghost Revolution, this is the revolution. And many have been offended. He prophesied that. Many will be offended. Many will not accept this. Many will not yield to me. Has it been true? Yes, because he is true. And they still won't. And they'd rather listen to a man who has some slick teachings on CDs, or online, or DVDs, or God TV, than listen to the Holy Spirit. That, there's no respect for God. If you can't respect the Holy Spirit, you don't respect the Father, and you don't respect Jesus. Because they're three in one. They're not separate. If you're denigrating Holy Spirit, guess who else gets denigrated? And Jesus said, not if you blaspheme the Son of Man, which was one of his titles as he was here on this earth, it will be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. I think fear of the Lord is in order here. And when we realize the gift that he is, there's no turning back. No one can convince you, no matter how many great arguments they have, no matter how many scriptures they throw at you as arrows, no one will convince you that the living God living in you, Holy Spirit, is not worth your time of day and is not worth communing with and is not worth asking and seeking after in all things because you have a real relationship with him. It would be like saying you're totally in love with your husband or you're totally in love with your wife. And somebody tells you they're really lousy. I wouldn't trust them. Oh, you know what they used to do? Oh, they're not really good people at all. You know, they don't even, you know, you even think they're beautiful. I'll show you what they're really like. Someone said that to you. Would you not punch their lights out? And you're in love with them and you adore this person? You become the mother bear or the father lion. How dare you? How dare you speak of the one I love? It's like, we're not even allowed to say that we're in love with Holy Spirit. Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, that's New Age. Oh, that's not of God. But we can say we love Jesus. That's okay. Or we can say we, you know, have reverence for the Father. That's okay. But to speak about Holy Spirit is as if you're talking about something filthy. That's how disgusting this is. That's how much the enemy has tainted the vision of Christians about the Holy Spirit. He has got glasses of filth and debris and caked on dust and garbage on the eyes of Christians. So they can't even see who Holy Spirit is. They don't even know who they're talking about when they're against him. Because if they knew who he really was, they wouldn't be against him. It would be impossible. How can you be against perfect truth? How can you be against righteousness? How can you be against true liberty? How can you be against absolute wisdom and revelation? You can't be against that. Or you're an insane person. So the only way the enemy has worked out to keep people from Holy Spirit who will reveal what the enemy's doing, because he's a spirit of truth. He's obviously going to shine the light on the father of lies. But without Holy Spirit, you are not going to see that. You might see it in pockets. You might see it here and there. You might be able to use the word and say, oh, yeah, well, that's not true because God said blah, 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 blah. But you won't have it in the moment when he's attacking you and nearly annihilating you in your heart or maybe through disease. How are you going to withstand that? By repeating words all day? The word is the sword of who? The Spirit. If he's not attached to it, what does it mean? If he's not wielding it, where does it go? And initially, I will reveal to the people that listen, I was going to use all the scriptures that I have, that I've gathered recently about Holy Spirit, his purpose, his power, his personhood, and how he is a part of, he's one of the Trinity, one of the persons of the Trinity, and how he does have a right to lead us and teach us. And he said to me, how dare you use the word to justify me? I wrote it. Do not use it to justify my existence, because I live in you and I am alive in you. Can you not trust me at last? Can you not trust me? That's his question to Christians. Can you not trust me, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth? If you choose not to, That is your prerogative. If you choose to trust me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're not bargaining here. It's not the Word or the Spirit. It's not Jesus or the Father. It's not the Holy Spirit or Jesus. It's the fullness of God he wants us to partake of. And we cannot do it if we put him in categories and little columns. I can see it. It's like a box on a desk, and there's all these little grooves and all these little mazes and all these little partitions. Yes, partitions is the word he wants. And we've partitioned God. You're Holy Spirit. You're Jesus. You're the Father. You're the Word. You're faith. You're grace. Stop it. He is one true God. And all the attributes of him, each one shares. And all the gifts that he's given us, and that's not just talking about the 9 spiritual gifts of the Spirit. We're talking the Word. We're talking the blood of Jesus. We're talking the cross. This is the depth of who God is. It's like no more namby-pamby. We're coming to the end. Whatever time and date that is, we are coming to the end of days. And it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. The lies, the deception, the separation. Separation of man from God, even once he's saved. How is that possible? How is it possible that someone can be saved and born again and be separated from God? Feel as if they don't even know who he is. Because the enemy has convinced us that we are to be separate from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's really nobody anyway. He's just this thing out there, or this whacked out manifestation. Or he wrote, you know, okay, he inspired the Word, and that's very good, and we'll be very respectful of that. But don't you ever add to the Word of God. We are not adding to the written Word of God. He is a living God, and he lives in us, and he speaks to us alive right now. Just like live TV. This is not recorded. He speaks now. And if you get to know him, Christians, that's what he wants me to call them. If you get to know him, Christians, you will recognize not only his voice, you will know when he speaks through you and you want to add or take away from that word, he will yell at you. He's done it to me. He'll admonish you immediately. Leave it the way it is, he'll say. The word of God was not just the written word. How could that possibly be? They didn't have it for hundreds of years. It wasn't even written down for most people to read. How did they operate then? Clairvoyance? What did they do? Yes, they had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament. People have used the New Testament. Okay, they don't like the Old Testament anymore, a lot of them, or if they'll use the Old Testament and the New Testament, they use it like a yoke around our necks to stop us from following who? The Spirit. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you are led by the Spirit, you are what? You are no longer under the law. Why would the enemy want us to not be led by the Spirit? Because we're back under the law? Because we don't feel know ourselves as sons? Because we can't overcome the lust of the flesh? He's got us on all three grounds. Identity, flesh, our sinful nature, and the last one, you're back, put back under the law that Jesus Christ delivered you from. So he gets us on all three counts, puts us in conflict with the flesh, and the flesh is winning because we're not being led by the Spirit. We're not walking in the Spirit. He gets us to be back under the law, which is condemnation. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk what? According to the flesh? No, who walk according to the Spirit. And then he also gets us the last one that Satan gets us on. is our sonship, our belonging to God. Because if you're not led, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not led by doctrine, not led by a man, not led by a book. You can read this book and it can kill you, it says. The letter kills, but the Spirit adds life. It says that we are no longer to live by the letter, but to serve in the newness of the Spirit. So we can't just look at this as words. And how can we? I mean, it denigrates Jesus. He was the Word made flesh. How can we think this is just words on a page that we can use to fight our fight and prove to everybody else we're right and they're wrong? It's like spitting on the cross. People don't realize. I don't think they realize what they're doing. I think most of the time they're ignorant. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are false teachers. There are, what does he say, call them, clouds without water. There are ones that are on evil intent. That is true. We're not going to pretend that doesn't occur. But most of the body is just blind. And if you are not yielding to the Spirit of truth, how are you going to see? I mean, it's simple logic. This is not about, oh, you're glorifying Holy Spirit. All you ever teach about is Holy Spirit. Yes, because without Holy Spirit, you're not going to even understand the things of God. It will all sound Greek to you. Or you might have some teacher who's going to explain it to you, and then you're going to use their doctrine and their teaching and their methods, and you're going to be caught in somebody else's opinion rather than fresh manna given daily by the Holy Spirit, a living God. He keeps saying this word to me, one true God, one true God, one true God. For months he's been saying living God. Now it's one true God. I am one true God. Wasn't that the first thing that when Moses was out in the desert? Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Still was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There still was the Father, there still was the Spirit, and there still was the Word, Jesus. And as you're saying, the written Word has been placed above God Himself. That is idolatry. You're exactly right. He didn't say, "Hear, O Israel, the Bible is your God." The reason we respect and honor every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But wait a minute, it wasn't always written down. Moses had to write that down. And if we did not need to hear from Holy Spirit now, in present time, for our everyday lives, whether it's problems with finances, or whether it's difficulty in a relationship, whether it's a desire to have greater faith, or whether it's wanting to pray for someone's healing. If we didn't need Him and we were all sufficient in ourselves, us and the Word, you know, let's just get us and the little Bible walking around all day, then why have the living God living in us? Why be a temple of the Holy Spirit? Why is He so denigrated? They hate Him. Do you know that there are Christians that hate Him? Perhaps they're not Christians, because how can you hate Him and be a Christian? They're either very, very, very deceived Christians, or they're blasphemers under the mask of a Christian. They will blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's called unforgivable. And no matter what slant people want to make on it, that, oh no, that's not now because Jesus died on the cross and so everything's forgiven. You can say whatever you want to say. You know, I sometimes would love to see a fast forward of each one of us meeting the Father and giving our lame excuses for why we did what we did, believed what we believed, and said what we said, and caused others to stumble. This is more than just about us. As he says, you know them by their fruit. If what people are doing is claiming that Holy Spirit is not their master, but Jesus is, because, oh, see, now that's politically correct. I can say Jesus is. See, the enemy will use, the enemy plays games like that. He does all kinds of semantics He loves words. He knows how to twist words, but he doesn't know how to twist the Holy Spirit. That's why he hates him so much. The Holy Spirit cannot be controlled. Words can be twisted and perverted any which way you like, but the Holy Spirit can't. So he doesn't mind you dipping into the Word, delving into the Word, reading the Word day in and day out. Because he can confuse you like there's no tomorrow. Isn't he the one, father of lies? Isn't he the one who causes confusion? So it's easy for him to take scriptures and misuse them every which way he can and keep you in bondage. But if you have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of liberty, directing your life, running your life. See, we don't like, oh no, I'm not having anybody run my life. Jesus is my master, but I'll do as I please. Jesus is my master, and I'll do the word of God, the parts that I like. Jesus isn't your master at all, because if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, then you've lost it. You're completely disconnected from the will of God. You can't just read the word and go, okay, I'll do, I'm going to do, all right, it says in Galatians 6 something, oh yeah, do good to everyone as much as possible, especially those of the faith. Okay, I'm going to go do good. See what a good Christian I am? It's all self-reliant. See what I've done? I helped a neighbor. I prayed for this one. I went there. I went to a prison. And what does he say? Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did mighty works in your name. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It seems to me that if we want to have a full relationship with him, it's not even it seems to me, this is just the truth, we have to know the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And if they want scriptures, we can rattle off scriptures. Every part of the New Testament, he's not just in Acts. He's referred to in Romans. He's referred to in Corinthians. He's referred to in Ephesians. He's referred to all over the New Testament. It isn't just a one scripture that we're taking out and going, oh, well, this sounds nice. See, the truth is, if we're led by the Spirit, we're no longer dictating our lives, but we're yielding them to him and to his will. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand and he exalts us. It's nothing to do with us figuring out how to be good Christians, how to prove to everybody else we know so much. We know more of the Bible than they do. But we're not even willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. We're not even willing to say, you know, I might get it wrong, but I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Because I don't want to be misled. Oh, heaven forbid you actually admit that you don't know everything. I mean, we're talking about a God who made not just billions of stars, billions of galaxies. And any human being that thinks that they can sort him out, figure him out, dissect him, deconstruct him, is so on the dangerous precipice of arrogance that the fall is coming. Because he says pride comes before a fall. So the Holy Spirit, and I know people even get offended if you say, the Holy Spirit is saying, like, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Well, he indwells me. I'm the temple of. He told me to be led by him. He said, if I'm led by him, I'm a son of God. He said I would understand things through him, but I couldn't understand anything of God without him. So how could he not be speaking to me if I'm yielding to him? We don't have to justify hearing from the Holy Ghost anymore. Holy Spirit says, that's okay, just listen and speak what I tell you. It's okay if people say you're a liar. It's okay if they revile you because Jesus said they would. It's okay if they say all manner of things, negative things, evil things against you. That's fine. I'll show you how to rejoice anyway. You'll find if you stand in the battle, when you're being maligned, discredited, assassinated publicly for preaching the truth, teaching the truth, speaking the truth, and particularly in this topic about Holy Spirit, which is it's almost as controversial as women in ministry. it's just about that extreme, that touchy for people. Because there are camps that don't think you can even, relate to Holy Spirit now because it's all over and it just finished with the apostles. There are those ones, and you don't have the gifts, and there's no speaking in tongues, and that's all filthy, and that's all the devil, and you're all liars. There's that camp, and you're all added to the Word of God. Then there's the camp that believe Holy Spirit can give you all the gifts, and all they want is his stuff. They don't want to have a relationship, and they certainly aren't going to be led. How dare you tell me what to do? You're just that helper guy behind me, watching how great I am, and giving me the tools I need when I ask you. That's how some people treat him. And I'm like, if you do not have the fear of the Lord, and guess who the Lord is? Holy Spirit's the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. The Father's the Lord. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, Holy Spirit's included there, you are on that precipice about to fall. And you will be led. You will think you're led by the Word. I'm led by the Word of God. Really? Well, where does it say to be led by the Word of God as if he is a person, as if the Bible is a person? We can't even be led properly by the Word without the Spirit. Because the Word and the Spirit work in tandem. They aren't separate. And if Holy Spirit gives you a word before you read it, he'll show it to you later. He'll confirm it. But he will say, as he said earlier in this teaching, if you're willing to trust me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you will understand what that even means. And you will no longer be a baby wanting milk, crying all the time, whimpering, wondering why I'm not there, why the Father doesn't answer your prayers. What did Jesus really do on the cross if I still have a lousy, horrible life of defeat? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am the Spirit of truth, says Holy Spirit. Know me, and you'll know the Father, and you'll know the Son. There's a way that seems right to a man but leads to death. Man's way will always lead to death. There is no two ways about it. There is only one way. My way, says the Lord. My way, says Holy Spirit. My way, says Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me. And who did he send? Holy Spirit. If we don't go the way of Holy Spirit, we are not going the way of Jesus. And we can con ourselves and use scriptures and use doctrine and use teachings and tell everybody how smart we are. But the truth is, we're not going God's way. We're going our way. And what does our way lead to? Death. Let's just make it as simple as that. And as we were saying before, when you teach about Holy Spirit, when you share about Holy Spirit, and when you share what Holy Spirit says, people always want you to confirm it with Scripture, not from the standpoint, yes, we know that the Holy Spirit will never, ever contravene the Word of God that he inspired. He will not contradict it. But because they have that, they say, well, now you have to prove it to me. But I already told you what he said, and it doesn't contradict Scripture, so why don't you go look it up? If you don't believe him, that's okay. Because until you have a real relationship with him, you know, what other people say can sound pretty crazy. Or it can sound like something that you have to question. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with questioning. We should be like the Bereans. We should see that what if someone is saying a particular doctrine, a particular teaching, make sure it's true. And yes, you use the Word of God, but if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you actually can go to him directly because he's a living God. And you can say, Holy Spirit, that feels really weird. That's strange. What do you think? And he will often say something like this. Well, what do you think? Because he cares about you. He cares what you think. And he knows once you start discussing it with him, you will get the answer through his illumination. But it's you actually working and seeking for it instead of him just giving you some quickie answer. Yes, no. No, that's good. That's bad. He's not like that. He wants you to grow up into all things in Christ. Just like the fivefold ministry is supposed to do for the body. He doesn't want you just asking him in questions and then you never actually grow. You just sit still in your baby chair being milk fed. No, get up, use your muscles, here's some meat. What do you think that they said? What does it do in your heart? What does it mean to your mind? What do you think about it? And when you tell him, he will tell you what he thinks, and it's amazing. You will get freedom. But see, no one will believe this unless they actually start doing it. Why does it say in the Bible we should do that? It does. It says it all over the Bible. I've had people arguing with me, saying it doesn't say that. Well, why didn't Paul talk about being led by the Spirit? Well, he did. But if you don't read that part of the Bible, I guess you won't know. So let's read the full counsel of God. How about we read from Genesis to Revelation? Then you really get the full counsel of God in the written word. Instead of just picking up, well, we don't like the Old Testament anymore, so we're just going to read the epistles of Paul. Oh, and the Gospels are passé as well. The whole reason we're Christians is based on the Gospels. How can you not want to read them? The life of Christ, your Savior, is historically written for you to read. And you don't want to read it because, no, I'm past the cross, so who cares what happened in the Gospels? It has no relevance to me. Really? Wow, well, maybe you didn't understand what he did on the cross and how relevant it was and why you are now can walk free and be one with God. It's like they love Paul, but they don't like the Gospels. They love the epistles, not just of Paul, the other epistles, but they can't stand the Old Testament. And heaven forbid they go to Revelation. How the heck are you going to interpret that without the Spirit of the living God? Tell me. Dragons and eyes and creatures and horses and garments in blood and whores. How are you going to interpret that? Or are you going to say, oh, I don't interpret, I just know. Really? Wow, well, I guess you're greater than all the rest. You must be God. We all interpret. It depends on where we're interpreting from is the issue. Are we interpreting from the living God? Are we interpreting from our own mind? Are we interpreting from what Satan's told us? Are we interpreting from our flesh? Are we interpreting from another teacher or a doctrine? People think this is all new, what they're learning. Or we can interpret directly from Satan. He's a spirit as well. He can speak into our minds. He can convince us of things. He can slant our seeing, our vision, our understanding, to the point that we will mock being led by the Spirit, have no respect for it whatsoever, and when we read about it, even in the Word of God, that some people make as an idol above God himself, when they read about it, they don't even see it. It's as if it wasn't even written, because it doesn't fit their paradigm. See, if you're in one paradigm, a paradigm is like a model of thinking, a worldview. And if you're in one paradigm, whether it's somebody, a man has influenced you, man, woman, whatever, has influenced you, and you're in a particular doctrinal teaching or under someone's teaching, and you're in their paradigm, you live in their paradigm, it's like a box. You can't see in another paradigm. You can't even understand another view. You're stuck in that one. And many people in Christendom are in that place, whether it's, you know, the old-time religion of very traditional churches that decide which part of the Bible is acceptable and which isn't, or whether it's these newer, newfangled, faddish trends of Christianity that teach particular aspects of whether it is prophecy or healing or apostleship or any part of, you know, again, those compartments, those segments, those fragments of God. Okay, this little fragment, this is what we love. And yes, it's true, we're many members in one body. But we don't fragment God in that. We come together to come as one. Not saying this part is the most important part. Healing is the most important part. It's not the gospel of healing. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of doing the word. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can hear them. I can hear the mocking. It's not the gospel of being led by the Spirit. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can hear that. That's the mocking spirit. I cannot fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Great Commission without the Holy Spirit. There will be no power in what I do. I will have a form of godliness and no power thereof. And if people think doing the word is reduced down to just laying your hands on some stranger in the street and that makes you some great Christian, you have missed the point of the cross and what he did for you and what he did for all humanity. Because you can, hey, great, they get healed. Isn't that wonderful? And they never know Christ and they go to hell. What does he say? Better to go in maimed into the kingdom of heaven than have a whole body and go to eternal damnation. And I'm not talking about let's not do healing and let's not pray for people. I am not saying that. But what I am saying is if you think healing is the be-all, end-all, and you've got some crash course to God because you can pray for a few people and they get healed, or are dozens or hundreds or thousands, and that makes you a better Christian than somebody who isn't running around frantically trying to prove that they're worthy of God's love and sonship, by draining themselves and being driven, and that somehow makes them part of the kingdom, that you've made a mockery of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He didn't say, run around frantically, touching every person you can, because otherwise you're a lousy believer. He said, come follow me. What did they mostly do? They mostly taught. They mostly preached. Healing was in passing. Healing happened when it was necessary, when somebody came up and was sick, when someone actually ran up to him. He didn't run around looking for people to heal. Oh, do you want a healing? 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 Do you want prayer? Do you want prayer? He didn't do that. He just spoke the word of God, the truth of God. Poured out to the people. And they recognized him. They recognized who he was. And they wanted to be touched and healed and freed. They came to him. We are not on some kind of performance proving our worth to God. I think we've got it backwards. Did he not prove that we were already worthy by the cross and Jesus Christ dying for us? We rest in the truth of our worthiness. And when he calls us to do whatever he calls us to do, but because we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we actually know what to do. And it's not just about, well, do good to everybody, and so then you're not led by the Spirit. Do good to everybody in what way? I have dozens of neighbors around me. Do they all need the same thing? Some of them don't even need healing. Some of them are brokenhearted. Some of them are devastated by a marriage that is now been separated, now been destroyed. Some of them can't control their emotions. Some of them drink too much. What, am I supposed to do the same thing for every one of them? If I don't know, and the Holy Spirit does know them, when I see him minister, he is magnificent. People don't know what they're missing, and they don't know what they're cheating other people. You want to minister to people? You better minister in the Holy Ghost. He knows them inside and out. He knitted them together in their mother's womb. He knows exactly what they need. He knows things about them you will never know. And he knows how to transform their lives quickly, as long as they're yielded. I've seen people transform in seconds from a blubbering mess to a triumphant victor. I've also seen people take months. And that really is dependent on the person. We have to decide how much we're going to yield, all the way or some of the way. And just like Jesus had, what happened to him? He was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. Jesus was spirit led. Well, I guess we're not allowed to do that either. Because, well, you know, Jesus is my master, but not the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. When he was first baptized, Holy Spirit led him into the desert for the temptation, for the time of trial. So he would be strengthened and would be able to overcome when he was in ministry. so that all the temptations that were laid before him, the ones that were going to be the greatest for him, so they could be laid to rest and he could walk in freedom. It was the power of the Holy Spirit by whom these people were healed. He didn't have magic tricks. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was conceived in Mary's womb. I mean, can we actually realize who the Holy Spirit is? The conception of Jesus Christ. What did he say? The angel? The Holy Spirit, when she said, well, how is that going to happen? I haven't been with a man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. So let's just read that in Luke 1:35. Actually, 34 to 35. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now what happens is people separate even there. They say, oh, the highest is the Father, and the Holy Spirit is just the power. Are they not one? Let us make them in our image, he said. In Genesis, let us, Elohim. See, in the English, when you say, in Hebrew, when you say Lord, there's variations. There's many variations of what Lord means. And one of them is Elohim, meaning Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. But we don't have that in English. So when we say he, we think it's one. But it's not the same. And that's actually part of the problem. It's just, it's literally the language. But the greater problem is people's unwillingness to yield to the living God, the one true God who lives in them and who cannot be controlled. You can control a word, manipulate a word, deceive with a word, pervert a word. You cannot do that with the Holy Spirit. You could pretend. There's false spirits that are parading around saying they're Holy Spirit. Just like there is the Word of God being twisted and perverted. Do we get rid of the Word? Because people can twist it, pervert it, and mistranslate it? And misinterpret it as well? No, we don't. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. Because someone can masquerade as not Him. Do we ignore Him? Dismiss Him? Send Him away out of the room? No, we don't. We're not going to have anything to do with you because I've got Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus is... Where's Jesus? Where did he go? He said, it's better that I leave you. He ascended. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So where is he? He's in heaven. Now his Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, revelation, wisdom, truth, liberty, the Holy Spirit, the person of God, the one that was, what did he do above the waters in Genesis? He came, let's read that right in Genesis at the very beginning. Let's just go back to the beginning. Because he is God. Just as the Father is God. Just as Jesus is God. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He's been around a long time. He's not some newfangled idea. Oh, when Jesus came, so then there's the Holy Spirit. But, you know, he's really not as important because Jesus was the important one because he died on the cross. And Holy Spirit's just the second-rate God thing that I really don't have to listen to because I've got the Word of God. Not that I can understand any of it, but I'm going to say I understand it because somebody else I'm listening to for 12 hours a day is interpreting it for me. So, of course, I don't interpret because they do. That's what's happened. Some of Christianity has diminished to that. And the arrogance that goes with it. See, the dangerous part is it's not just spiritual laziness or a desire to fast track to God. And you can have fast track in a relationship. That's like being married. You know, you got married and you had your honeymoon. You had a nice time. You come and you live together in your home now. And then you want to be as deeply connected as you would be 30 years from now. So let's just fast forward that part. But we'll still be in these bodies at this time of the day of our marriage. doesn't work like that. It's a relationship. It's we're not in a school where we're just getting instruction and we want a diploma. That's how some Christians treat him. And I'm talking God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's like something I've got to accomplish, not someone I get to know. Human beings will separate the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and make him into different components so that they can understand and they can manage him. But the truth is, he is one essence, three persons. We are many members, one body. It's the same principle. We are one in spirit together. No matter how far away we live from each other, no matter whether we ever meet each other on earth or only when we go to heaven, we are still one. So if we can look at it like that, it might make it a bit easier to understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one essence, three persons. Being led by the Holy Spirit is for freedom's sake. It's not so we will be namby-pamby Christians sitting there waiting. This is what some people are worried about. Oh, you'll just sit there and wait till you're led, till you're led, till you're led. And you'll never do nothing. No, people who really want to be led by the Spirit do more than anybody. Because he infuses you every minute of every day. You can't help. He's just gushing out of you. And if people don't believe it, they might want to try it. See what it's like to be truly led by the Holy Spirit of the living God. God himself. Not your image of God. Not what your interpretation of the word. Not a doctrine, not a teacher, not a pastor, but by the living God. See what it's like to truly be led. That's the challenge. See what it's like to be truly led by the Spirit of the living God. So this is the challenge for Christians. If you want to truly prove that the Holy Spirit is the living God and is the same in value, power, and personhood in terms of his omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, then here's your challenge. Then your challenge is to ask Holy Spirit, treat him as a person, to ask him to lead you. In some area, it can be something, a struggle you're having. It can be a healing you've been seeking. It can be understanding either scripture or even a concept of Christianity. It can be even how to do something practical. Ask the Holy Spirit directly. Be willing to be led by him. And watch the results that you may have thought would have taken you a lot longer or you may have never achieved happen. When Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert for his temptation, for the trial that he was going to undergo, that the Spirit obviously knew he was going to undergo and he had to undergo to fulfill his ministry. When that happened, so in Luke 4, because we want to read it directly, 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And then it goes on. We know what all the temptations are. And after all the temptations are listed and how Jesus responds with it is written, the truth, the truth, the truth he's speaking. And it isn't the truth. Oh, he's speaking the truth, the word of God. See, he had to speak the word of God because the Spirit's really not important. No, the Spirit inspired the word of God. That's how those men knew what to write. They're not separate. They're not in opposition, the word and the Spirit. The word is the sword of the Spirit. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So it was through the Holy Spirit that his ministry was fulfilled. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that our ministry, whatever he calls us to be or do, is fulfilled. So let's let him have the place that he's meant to have so we can fulfill what we have been called to do. And this is who we are. We are epistles of Christ, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. We're written by the Spirit of the living God. If we do not yield and are not led by him, what can he write?